True spiritual life has several components. First of all, there must be a foundation of ethical practice, a foundation of attitudes and behaviors that support a deeply wise and real understanding of the nature of your life and those around you. And that is why the yogis of ancient times said that the yamas and the niyamas were fundamental, and that a man or woman who wanted to do meditation should first study these tenets for an extended period, perhaps many years, before beginning a meditation practice. Because without establishment in attitudes and behaviors that support your psychological development and well-being, it is difficult to do meditation. That is why I have said without yama niyama, sadhana is an impossibility. Because these foundational practices developed attitudes of love and care for living beings, desire not to harm, of deep personal truthfulness and self-honesty, of a recognition that the infinite Brahma is all around in all things, and even your desires, though they take many forms, are for the One. An understanding that to covet what another has is to diminish what you are. And to accumulate and accumulate out of fear, thinking that having more will bring you safety and security and well-being. When one looks at these and begins to practice differently, so that there is generosity of spirit, deep personal honesty, and the development of a deep love within for all beings, for yourself and for all other beings, that intends only good and no harm. When all of this is in place, and when one studies regularly the wisdom that others have acquired, when one practices purity of heart and mind, and deep contentment with what is, and when one learns the quality of self-sacrifice, of selfless service, then the mind begins to change. Your psychology is altered. And a psychology develops which is healthier. So though the yamas and niyamas are presented as moral principles, in reality they are psychological approaches which develop attitudes and behaviors which promote psychological health and the ability to do Brahma sadhana. Without them, the sadhana, the meditation practice, becomes very difficult because the mind is not balanced. And disturbances arise due to that lack of balance. So the foundation of meditation is the cultivation of right action and right thinking. With the cultivation of right action and right thinking, meditation deepens and expands. And the true connection to the infinite arises in the heart of one's being. So this is an important aspect of spiritual life. But there is another aspect that is also significant. And that is the development of physical well-being as well as spiritual well-being and mental well-being. So the body must also be cared for. Through eating a sattvic diet, one influences the mind to be more sattvic. Through carrying a balanced diet that is free from harm to living beings, that there is no great harm done to animals, it increases the subtlety of the mind. And when the body is treated as a temple with regular asana, regular exercise, so that you are strong and balanced in your physical body, it creates a solid base. It is your temple in which you can develop your mental equanimity through the yamas and niyamas, through practices that bring you into balance mentally, in right action and right thinking. And then from that to learn to find the silence, the stillness between the in-breath and the out-breath, where your mind stops its incessant churning and your awareness experiences direct love, direct compassion, direct awareness, direct infinite being that is not in thoughts or words, but in direct experience. When these aspects of one's spiritual path are in place, there is a final step in the spiritual path, and that is surrender. Surrender to the great, to the infinite one, to the Sadguru, to the divinity within and all around, to the love which has no second, to that non-dual awareness. Surrender. Letting go of beliefs, letting go of constructs, letting go of effort, letting go of that fundamental I am-ness, surrendering it to the Infinite One. There is love which is give and take. That's a business deal. There is love which has motive. I love you because I want you to love me. There is even love. I love you because I love to love. But there is another love. I love you because I want your happiness. I don't want anything. When your I feeling can give way in that kind of love, not a love to acquire anything, not a love to achieve anything, but a love that surrenders, that lets go. Thy will, not mine. When the little, small boy, small girl lets go, then what remains? Is the infinite. When you dissolve, when you let go, when you stop trying to win and achieve, when you let go and fall back into the waves of infinite being and let that infinite being be present where before there was you, then you become part of the ocean of love. You become part of the totality of being. In reality, you are already this, you always have been, but in your mind, it differs. In your mind, you believe that there is a separate you, a separate person who's in charge of your life and has to strive and struggle to make your life all right. You believe in this. And this step in the spiritual path is letting go of that belief. Letting go of all the trying. Letting go of the very feeling of separateness. And realizing that there is only the one eternal being, eternal self. That one does all actions. Like the dreamer and you, the character in the dream, believing that you are in charge. But really, it's the mind of the dreamer that is dreaming even your existence. So it is in the cosmic mind. So it is that you abide. And when this surrender comes, the letting go, then the spiritual journey has been walked and you have found the further shore. Then where is the journey for the infinite already is? All right. Namaskar.